Thanks for tuning in to Jet Nation. You are listening to Joe Vinny and the Jets. Be sure to follow us at Jet Nation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And check out our forums. Jet Nation is your home for uncensored Jets talk. Now, here's your hosts, Joe Blewett and Vinny Plataraca.
And welcome to another edition of Joe, Vinny, and the Jets. Not much has happened since last week.
Woo!
No Fitzpatrick, no quarterback at all. But we're gonna talk about that. Obviously, again, beating a dead horse, but we have to talk about it. We're talking about Fitz, some of the other options, the Glennons, the McCowns. Talk about some quarterbacks in the first round, maybe some outside linebackers there. Re-sign Aaron Henderson. So there's some things to talk about. But Vinny, how is Vegas, man?
Ah, man, wild
still, are you still suffering from Vegas?
Oh, I'll be suffering for the next several paychecks. But hey, you know, I put my bets that I needed to put out there for the futures for the NFL season. So you know, I'm content with them. But hey, man, it was wild. It was. Let's just say it was just crazy. It's something everyone should do, but maybe not go out there with all your money and lose it all. That's just my bit of advice, but it was fun.
So you piled, you know, losing all of your money on top of Seton Hall getting beaten in embarrassing fashion
terrible.
To Gonzaga,
terrible.
Which was just miserable.
It
your
was
boy
rigged.
Whitehead, I believe his name is just terrible.
Yeah,
it's all
corrupt. NCAA is just corrupt.
Yeah. Take a second to thank our sponsor, Miles Social. Go to milesocial.com. They help businesses manage their social media. Call the number 646-716-4697 if you want to call in. So Vinny, you weren't here last week, but we've been talking a lot about. Oh yeah, and really quick too, just letting people know, I'm going to be doing a little experiment right now, trying to do the show from inside my house. Last time I did it, massive echo, but there's like 40 to 60 mile per hour winds in New Jersey right now, so we're gonna try it out. If not,
it doesn't work.
Yeah, we'll go on a little commercial, and then I'll be in my basement again, which is always great. But like I said, with the quarterbacks, we've been talking about the quarterbacks. We've been talking about Fitz and Glenn and all these guys. So I'm gonna leave that for a little bit later because, like I said, we've been talking about it so much. I just want to update some people on some news. Jordan Norwood, who we brought in, who's a punt returner / kick returner / special teamers. From the Broncos, he was brought in for a visit. He signed back with the Broncos. Courtney Upshaw signed with the Falcons. And then we got what else happened, Vinny? The Jeremy Curley and Darren Walls was signed with the Lions today.
Yeah,
not too big of losses, whatever. But let's start off with the outside linebacker position because Upshaw was signed, and that was the thing we've been talking about. We talked about Courtney Upshaw. We talked about the outside linebacker position. Do you think there's another guy in free agency that the Jets can be targeting, or are you looking more towards the draft? Because when I look at people in free agency, it's the older guys. It's like the Chad Greenways. I heard a rumor today that maybe I believe it was Dwight Freeney would come here and think about it, which – I'm not too sure about, but we'll see. But you know, what do you think about outside linebacker position? Because right now you're looking at Lorenzo Maldon, you're looking at Trevor Riley, Mike Catapano, and that's it. And I really doubt that anybody here or anybody listening to this show wants Trevor Riley or Mike Catapano starting alongside Maldon. So what do you do at that position?
Well, for me, it's easy. You use that position in the draft. When you look at this Jets defense, especially the front seven, front six, front eight, whatever they do in certain situations, there's too much talent there to be a middle-of-the-pack team like they were last year in the sack department. I think they finished 13th in the NFL last year, under 40 sacks as a combined team last year. I think that number is just totally unacceptable when you look at all the talent around them. I know, obviously, it's off-season. You don't see any headlines. But one of the things we saw this week was Coach Bull saying that, you know, Lorenzo Maldon is going to have a big role this year. I think he will have a big role. I don't think he'll play, you know, what did he play last year? What, 30%, whatever it was? It wasn't much, and he had a lot of production.
Yeah, 30, 30, 33%, something like that.
Something like that. So you figure Alonzo Molden will be up there, you know, double to, you know, to three times almost the amount of playing time. So when you figure that in, you look at all these guys on, you know, rushing to the quarterback. They're all young and with explosiveness. And if you're able to add another young guy, whether it be a Leonard Floyd, a Noah Spence, whatever the case may be in the draft, then you're looking at a unit you can possibly have for 3-4 years of all guys under the age of 26, 25 years old. You know, Leonard Williams, what, 21 years old. These guys are still young and fresh. You know, when you look at the free agents, like you said, you throw in a name like Dwight Freeney, who's what, about 33, 34, who came with the Cardinals late. You know, he came the last few teams, middle of the season. That's not a guy I think the Jets should be targeting or even, you know, bringing into visits for that matter, because this is a team where if you can just add, an Ogba even, a Leonard Floyd, whatever the case is, there's going to be someone there at the 20th pick that you plug in and they're going to get those one-on-one chances. I already expect Lorenzo Molden to get a lot of one-on-one chances, and we see what he can do last year when he's given an opportunity. So the outside linebacker position is a crucial one. Obviously, we've known what has been the Achilles heel for the Jets the last several years that we've really been diehard fans getting into it, and that's been getting to the quarterback. And
for about 10 years now.
Yeah, no, it's been a very long plague of getting to the quarterback. And when they're successful, they're hitting the quarterback. Last year, they hit the quarterback a lot. They were among top 10 teams and actually hitting the quarterback. That's after he's thrown the ball. You know, there's a difference. You know, you can get to the quarterback all you want, but if you can't get him on the ground when he has the ball, you see what happens, especially against those faster quarterbacks that really hurt us. So, to wrap it up, man, I think you add a young guy, an Ogba, a Floyd. Again, it doesn't really matter. Whoever the case may be, you add him with the young guys now, it's nice.
Yeah, and really quick too, the thing with Lorenzo Molden, I said last week that I did film on him, and if you want to go to JetNation.com forums, I think I named it like round three film on Lorenzo Molden. I forget what I named it, but you go check it out. But the guy is a stud, and he only played, I believe, it was like 253 snaps last year, and he had four sacks. And then there was another guy who was commenting and saying that, you know, there was guys with 800, 900 snaps who guys like Ellis Doomerville and guys like that who had just as many sacks as he did or a little bit more. They had like 5 or 6. But if you triple or quadruple his snap count, then he'll get more. But then you have to factor in things like, is he going to drop into pass coverage? Is he going to be, you know, containing the edge? There's obviously a lot of things that go with that, because of the 253 snaps he did play, I guarantee almost 250 of those were just go right at the quarterback. So there's variables to that, but I understand that argument with people. And we were talking about the first round, Vinny, at least the first round outside linebackers. I don't want to get into the second, third, fourth round right now, because the draft is coming up in – actually, it's under a month. It was a month last night, 8 o'clock. So we'll start getting more into the draft in the next coming weeks and start doing some mock drafts and talking about and breaking down some candidates that the Jets might potentially be looking at or guys that we would like. But as far as outside linebackers go, you're going to figure that Miles Jack is going to be gone. UCLA's, you know, top 5 pick, if not top 3, maybe number 1, 2, 3, whatever it is. But he's going to be gone unless something drastic happens where he murders an entire family or something and drops into the 6th round. but I don't think that happening in the next month. So sorry to be very blunt there. But and then you're looking at guys who, and all these guys at 20 are going to have problems. But just on your preference, you had Leonard Floyd out of Georgia, who people argue tall, skinny, he can't really tackle too well. You never see him lay a big hit like you would like to see an outside linebacker do, especially in the college level when you're going to have to tackle the Chris Ivories of the world, the Adrian Petersons of the world. So there's worry about him with that, and there's Darren Lee, who, a linebacker who runs a 4.47, smaller guy, 230, 235. So there's worry about his size. And you have guys like Shaq Lawson, who's 270, who might be a 4.3 defensive end. Noah Spence, Eastern Kentucky, Correa from Boise State. So are you not sure who you'd want there, Vinny, or have you not looked into it enough, or do you want to get into it in the next couple of weeks, or do you have a preference right now, or what do you think about some of those guys? Because realistically looking at it right now, you're going to be and obviously we don't know how the cards are going to fall, but you're looking at guys guys like the Floyds, the Lees, the Shaq Lawsons, the Noah Spences, and the Correas of the draft.
Yeah, you know, a lot of those guys, it's easy to group all of them together. A lot of them are similar. But one guy, I mean, and there's a few guys that I haven't seen climbing up boards. This guy, Emmanuel Ogba from Oklahoma State, I believe. I was looking at some tape of his. He compares to, you know, NFL.com and a few other sites. They put all these videos up and compare, you know, just throw out names. And a guy who he compared to was a guy by the name of Charles Johnson, the guy who has been on the Carolina Panthers for, I think, about 10 years now, has been elite at times. I really looked into this guy, Ogba, and, I mean, it's not a flashy name because he's, I think, he's 270 pounds, but he's a guy who one-on-one – when I'm looking at this 20th pick, I'm looking at a guy who can physically dominate one-on-one because that's going to be the opportunity given to whoever the Jets draft. Being hopefully, you know, whatever, if he's an outside linebacker, he's going to get those one-on-one chances no matter who they get, whether it be an Ogba or Noah Spence. But Ogba is a guy who stood out to me last year, had the last 2 years, he had 23.5 sacks over the last 2 years. And then again, Noah Spence. I know you've been high on this guy, and there's rightfully slow, 22.5 tackles for loss. For him, he's just a freak, you know, one of those guys, just one of those freaks in college. Hey, we've seen the ups and downs of drafting a guy like that, but hey, man, I like Noah Spence. If he's on the board at 20th, and out of the guys you named, out of the Floyds, out of the Ogbas, out of the Lees, I'm taking Noah Spence because this is a guy who dominated. He originally was at Ohio State. He was Big Ten all freshman team. Had 8 sacks his freshman year at Ohio State, and then comes over to Eastern Kentucky and just dominates. So I really like this guy. Floyd is another guy who not the numbers and sacks that you like to see. I think he had 17 sacks in 3 years. And no matter what, man, no matter what guy they get, they're going to get the one-on-one chances. That's, again, I'm going to stress that as much as I can because that's what it comes down to. When you seen last year, even with Malden, the Patriot game, when he was able to win just one one-on-one pass rush and get Brady to the ground, it can alter a game, just one play. So if a guy gets 20 chances, 15 chances, whatever case is, during the span of a game, one-on-one chance, I like Noah Spence and Ogba's chances there.
Yeah, Ogba is 6'4", 273, a little bit bigger, projects more as a 4'3 defensive end, but you never know. This is kind of the same thing with Shaq Lawson. He's a 4'3 defensive end in my mind, but you never know. If Mike Maccagnan goes there and likes him and thinks he can play outside linebacker, you know, a bigger type of outside linebacker, like a Terrell Suggs type of guy, and he likes him, then go ahead and take him. Right now he's a little bit raw, so we'll see. But I like Noah Spence too. But you have to worry with him. There's worries, like I said, with all these guys. Noah Spence, you worry he got in trouble. He got in trouble with Ohio State. Now he's not on their team. Eastern Kentucky, he's obviously not playing those big time schools, the Michigan States and the USC. He's not playing all those schools. So is he just producing because he's playing against lesser talent? So there's gonna be worries with any of these guys. But just talking about, you know, some names. I like Darren Lee too, fast guy. He can be like one of those like Deion Buchanan type of guys, but more outside linebacker than safety. I like him, but we'll see. Like I said, we have about 4 weeks or 29 days until the draft. So in the next coming weeks, we'll get a lot more into it, a lot more, you know, 6th, 7th round guys and all that crazy type of stuff.
Let's go.
But actually, Vinny, we do have a caller, and it's Josh who wants to talk about the quarterbacks and the draft. What is up, my man?
Hey, what's up? What's up?
How you doing, man?
Not much. I want to talk about our first round pick. And to start off, is it me or so far in like 5 years straight? I know we have a quarterback problem, but why they keep on saying our first round pick will be a quarterback, especially this year? These quarterbacks, to me, I don't see them starting right away. We already have Bryce Petty. Why they assist of us taking the first round pick?
Well, question for you, just kind of to retaliate, and I'm not saying they have to take a quarterback. I'm not saying it's taking an outside linebacker. I'm not saying they have to take an offensive lineman. The only guy I think they can't take in this draft is Ezekiel Elliott, because he'll be like third or fourth on the depth chart. So that's one of the only guys I think you kind of cancel out. But okay, so you're figuring that Wentz is going to be gone. He's probably number one or two. Right there, depending on somebody trades up. Jared Goff is probably gone too. You have teams, you have the Browns, you have the Cowboys, you have the Niners, you have the Rams and the Bills all before us. So I think those two guys will be gone. So most likely you're looking at a guy like a Paxton Lynch out of Memphis, who I agree with you. He probably has to sit for a year. But the thing is, if you're Sonic Fitzpatrick, say, okay, so now you don't want Paxton Lynch, you draft Darren Lee at that spot, let's say. And then in 2 years, Paxton Lynch turns out to be a stud. Ryan Fitzpatrick is, on a different team, and the Jets are left with no quarterback. Are you mad we didn't draft a quarterback, Josh?
See, if the scenario actually worked out that way, I would be mad. But I just want to say this, because I heard y'all talking before. What if we would have actually grabbed Leonard Floyd, for example, and instead of a quarterback, and let's say out of nowhere, I'm shooting myself in the foot here, but out of nowhere, Geno Smith actually finally has weapons that he actually used and did our right season, but we beat the Patriots, swept them out, because I could actually dip his shoulder and sack Tom Brady.
Oh yeah, I get your point that you want that outside linebacker, or you want that offensive lineman, the Ronald Stanleys or
tackle.
The Conklins or whoever it may be. But if obviously
I'm not trying to start an argument or anything like that.
No,
it was just
I 100% get it. And the thing with Geno Smith is Geno Smith kind of had his chance already. Where I understand he wasn't with the best team and things like that, but he got punched in the face for $600, dude. It's literally like a dollar.
Yeah, I know.
I understand he doesn't. The people are getting on him about the talent. He doesn't do this right. He doesn't do that right. When in training camp, people were kissing his feet and saying, "Oh, he's doing so great. He's going to be the quarterback." Blah 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 blah. And then as soon as the script flips a little bit, people say they always hated him, which was just straight lying. So I agree with you on that Geno Smith does have the talent, but I just don't think he has a mental mindset that a starting quarterback needs in this league. So I'm never going to go into the
and I agree
with Geno Smith. I rather have literally Fitz, Glennon, McCown, Hoyer all over Geno Smith, and I don't even like Hoyer at all. But Geno Smith is just, what if he gets punched in the face by I don't know Deion Simon this year. You never know. But I understand your point. And Leonard Floyd, like I was talking about with Vinny before, I like Darren Lee better. I like Noah Spence better. Shaq Lawson better. But I understand. I think you're just throwing out a name, Josh, or is that some guy that you actually really like, Leonard Floyd? Because he does have the athletic ability. He's a freak.
That's what I wanted to touch up on real quick. And maybe I could change your mind about him or let you study some film about him. You cannot teach speed, but you could teach tackling skills, and we have a perfect head coach to, look at Pryor. Pryor was amazing this year. You can't say he's not. But what I'm getting at, what we could have with Floyd this year, unlike other years, they for some reason they stick him middle linebacker, and for some reason he was chasing around slot receivers. But in previous years, he was that edge rusher that, could get in. And that's what I like about him. What we was missing last year, not only someone that could rush the edge, but come on, the Eagles, out of all teams, running backs was able to get open and score on us. I just like someone that actually I would like to pick someone. I think Leonard Floyd is perfect. Lee, I like Lee, but I just want someone that could actually, hold their own in coverage and actually could a few linebackers actually in the league could dip their shoulder. Like, why they can push offensive line, they don't like to bend down.
So pushing, when they push and the linebacker could actually dip their shoulder and keep the speed and cut that edge is a big plus. And I saw that in Lennox Lloyd. So what you think about that?
Yeah, it's such a, covering the fullbacks, running backs, tight ends, and able to get to the quarterback. It's such a rare commodity these days. And there's a few guys like you mentioned Leonard Floyd, but another guy like that, Reggie Ragland, he's a guy who can cover as well. It's something that the Jets obviously have lacked, and, the best guy, or sad to say the best guy, is now gone, able to cover the running back, and that's Demario Davis. There's no linebacker right now who can, cover. That's going to be – you bring up an interesting point. I didn't really think about who's going to be covering these tailbacks out of the backfield because David Harris isn't going to be that guy. I think Melvin's going to be – I don't think they want to mess up Malden. They just want to have him, put his hand in the ground and get to the quarterback. But, Leonard Floyd, you see him guarding, slot receivers and doing a decent job at guarding a guy 50 pounds lighter than him. But again, those guys don't come, that often. They just don't. So, I think the Jets' technique in the draft, if I learned anything last year from McKagan, he's going to draft the best available guy. Leonard Williams, prime case, being available at the Jets pick and just a position they didn't really need to take a guy, and they take the best available guy. If Leonard Floyd's there and they think he's the highest on the board, or if they think Paxton Lynch is the highest man on the board, I'll tell you what, even if they sign Ryan Fitzpatrick and they think Paxton Lynch is the highest man on the board, I think they're going to take him because that's what these teams do. They take the best available player, Again, like Joe said, the Jets don't have a quarterback that's going to be here for the next 10 years. They were looking for a Band-Aid. I know Joe and everyone has been saying that this Band-Aid quarterback, still to be determined, is not here yet. So, if Paxton Lynch is there, the 20th pick, I think the Jets are going to swoop on in because, again, Geno Smith, do the Jets trust Geno Smith to lead this team, a team with, NFL Network rated the top two, best threats in the receiving game in Decker and Marshall. I don't know. Do they trust, Bryce Petty in his second year? I would like to see them give him a chance, but it's just such a tough call when you have all these weapons and all these places and pieces. Because hey, let's face it, I don't think the Jets are going to get 33 touchdowns and 19 turnovers last year for Ryan Fitzpatrick if he signs again. I just don't think that's going to be the case. If Paxton Lynch is there, this guy has a chance to be a freak. Look at his tape. I know you played in Memphis and the Marathon and the AAC. This guy just has a chance to be a stud. If he's there, I think the Jets swoop in on him. But again, there's this team is so close to making the playoffs. Obviously, last year, 10 wins. They're just missing a few pieces, and a big piece is obviously that quarterback. So, Paxton Lynch, to me, if he's there, I think the Jets are going to slunk their way into him.
Slunk. I understand what you're saying, Vinny, and I agree. Obviously, if they like him, if they don't like him, don't take him. But for some Jets fans to be sitting there and saying we can't take a quarterback because, one, we have Geno, who, it's Geno, and then you have Bryce Petty, a guy who's a fourth-round quarterback who's a project who can come out, and, yeah, he can be good, but he can come out at the same time and completely suck. We have no idea. So you can't put your faith in Bryce Petty. He's a project for a reason. Thing with Reggie Ragland, he's a David Harris type of guy where he's a slower linebacker. He runs like a 4.9 or a 4.8 in the 40s, so he's more of a David Harris type of linebacker where I don't really think he's going to be covering any running backs or slot receivers or anything like that. But if I'm drafting an outside linebacker in the first round, let the safety or Aaron Henderson go and cover a running back. The problem the Jets had last year and the problem the Jets had for the last 10 years is getting to the quarterback. So you can save me all the, slot receiver and covering the running backs because they need to get after the quarterback. And Leonard Floyd isn't the only guy who can do that. Darren Lee is actually faster than him and can do that just as well as he could. So Leonard Floyd has weaknesses too. Like I said, he's tall, he's skinny, he has problems block shedding, he's not a hard tackler, and you can say, you can teach tackling, but he should know how to tackle by now. He's in college. He's not football league at nine years old. Because the same kind of things were said about Deion Jordan. He reminds me a lot of Deion Jordan. What is Deion Jordan doing right now for the Dolphins? Has he had one sack in his career? I don't even know. So there's going to be problems with everybody, but I do like Floyd if they liked him. You know, I'm not going to say Mike McCagney, you're an idiot. I'm smarter than you because I've only seen a little bit of Floyd. And Josh, if you do stay posted, you know, I will put up some film of Leonard Floyd actually coming in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to do a couple outside linebackers so you can stay posted for that. But before you go, Josh, who is going to be the quarterback of the Jets? Are you having Fitzpatrick for $14 million? Are you trading a pick for Glennon? Is it McCown? Is it Hoyer? Because like we just said, we're not going into the season with just Geno, Petty, and I don't know, some guy, a David Garrard or a Mark Brunell type off the street.
To be honest with you, I put my money on Fitzpatrick to end up coming back to us because his options is getting really, really thin. And
and the thing, really quick, Josh, I just want to ask you a question. The thing with that is, though, everybody's saying, oh, well, you know, the Browns are now written off. But the same thing with the Browns being written off for Fitzpatrick, now you're crossing off RG3 for the Jets quarterback list. So now you're looking at, you know, Fitzpatrick can come back at the same time and say, okay, well, now you have McCown, Hoyer, or me, or you're going to trade a pick for somebody. So while the quarterbacks are, you know, they're running out of options, teams for Fitzpatrick to go to are running out of options. Same thing with the Jets with quarterbacks. There's not too many people out there. So he has leverage just as much as we do, I think.
Yeah, he have leverage, but he won't have the same weapons he had last year. But just to, you know, make you happy.
Yeah.
If anything, Hoyer. Oh, yeah, I can't even say his name right. Hoyer.
Hoyer.
I can take my chances with him. He's a cheaper bet.
He's a cheaper
bet, and I know y'all busy. I still have to continue the show. I would like to see a linebacker, if not a linebacker, a double-double with lineman, and then find a linebacker in the third round.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. That's two of the top needs is lineman and outside linebacker. If you're not counting quarterback, so if they don't go outside linebacker in the first, maybe you trade up in the second, get a guy like a Correa or one of these guys. So we'll see. It's so hard to predict the draft. It really is. It's kind of stupid to even do a mock draft, but we'll do it for fun because we can. But Josh, we do appreciate the call, and hopefully we hear from you soon again, man.
All right. Go to Jets, and love y'all show. I try to keep on calling, and
thanks,
I enjoy talking to y'all. All right,
hey,
go Jets.
Thanks,
Let's
Josh.
Go.
Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon, man. And now we are bringing on Matt, who wants to talk about quarterbacks as well. What is up, Matt?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing good, man. How about you?
Good. So, yeah, I just wanted to dive right in there and just go into what I think we should do this season at quarterback. So it's
like
a little bit of time passed, and we haven't brought in Fitzpatrick yet, obviously, and RG3 signed elsewhere. So now it's like, where are we going to go? It's McCown, it's Hoyer, I think the Jets are playing Fitzpatrick the way they should. Why would you give him more money when nobody wants him? You stay put, and he's going to play in the NFL this year, and you wait on him. And if he goes somewhere else, then he goes somewhere else. But Fitzpatrick, to me, is where you should go number one.
Yeah, no, I agree. But if you're looking at Fitzpatrick let's say he doesn't drive down the asking price, which he will, because like you said, there's nobody out there who's offering him this money. He went to the Broncos. The Broncos basically laughed at him, said we're not going to pay you that. So they're probably in contact with him as soon as he lowers the price. The Jets aren't going to pay it to him. And other than that, what do you have? The Rams who might do it, but you're not going to. If there's teams out there who are paying, let's say, offering Fitzpatrick $8 million, and the Jets aren't interested to go out there and say, you know what, you had a good season. Our fans love you. We're going to give you $14 million. There's no point of paying a quarterback. You're going to test the market. If he doesn't have any other options and you're giving him the best offer at $8, $9 million or $7 million, whatever it is, there's no point of giving him a $6 million bonus because you like him and the fans like him. So I agree with that. But
What I think gets lost in the whole Fitzpatrick thing is the value in the system with Chan Gailey, this and that. But if he walks, the Jets are a win-now team, right? So you're not going to draft. Fitzpatrick isn't what he – some people think the five-game winning streak was kind of an aberration, and Week 17 at Buffalo is really what he is. I think it's somewhere in between. So you have to be level-headed on Fitzpatrick. But if you don't get Fitzpatrick, I really don't know that you want to go to a guy like Mike Glennon or something like that, because, like I said before, it's a win-now team, and just because they're veterans, they're lifetime backups. So what about going, you know, I think they want a higher pick, but a guy like Kaepernick, who was a play away from the Super Bowl, someone like that, it just feels like you can't draft, you can't go with Geno and be confident about it. So you wait on Fitzpatrick. It's not, you have to go with a Kaepernick or something like that, because you just can't go into the season with Geno Smith.
Yeah, no, I want to buy season tickets regardless, but if they go to Geno Smith, I'm going to be a very miserable person for the next couple of months. But I'm not overpaying Fitzpatrick. Like I said before, I'm not giving him $13, $14 million. Honestly, I'd rather have, you know, we all love Fitzpatrick, and we saw what he did last year, but at the same time, just being 100% honest, looking from it from the outside, we played a it's not an excuse or anything like that, but we played a really freaking easy schedule. Let's just get that completely out there. The defenses we played were pretty terrible, and the secondaries, a la the Giants and the Cowboys and teams like that. So it's not like we beat the Broncos and all these teams, and that's just looking at it fairly. So how much better is Fitzpatrick really, honestly, than McCown and Hoyer? Is he $10 million better than him?
Not $10 million better. But
yeah,
I think that it's worth sitting back and waiting on Fitzpatrick to maybe give him $9 million when it comes down to it. You know, if that's what it ends up being.
No doubt about it. But like, if you're paying Fitzpatrick $14 million a year, I'd rather be paying McCown, you know, $4 million a year. That's just how it is. I just don't think Fitzpatrick is amazing. You look at the weapons he has too this year, and that's why a lot of people say he wants to come back here. He has Matt Forte, he has Kyrie Robinson, Bilal Powell, Chan Gailey's offense, which a lot of people were doubting Chan Gailey when he came into this team last year, saying that he's not a good offensive coordinator. But look at all the quarterbacks he's had success with now. Now you have Fitzpatrick, you have Tyler Thigpen, you have all these bums. You have Fitzpatrick in 2012. He had his best year, or one of his best years under Chan Gailey then. So Chan Gailey and his offense really helped him, and so did Brandon Marshall and Decker and all these guys last year. I'm not, you know, I would love Fitzpatrick back too, but you're talking about Kaepernick, but right now it kind of seems like Kaepernick is written off a little bit, where the Jets aren't going to trade for him, the Broncos aren't going to trade for him. I believe April 1st, which is in a day or two or 3 days, like $6 million of his contract becomes guaranteed. So after that, you figure that the 49ers are just going to keep him. So it kind of looks like chances on him are slimming, but a lot of Jets fans right now are talking about Mike Glennon, 6'6", 250, 26 years old. What do you think about Mike Glennon? Are you just you're not the biggest fan?
I don't want Mike Glennon. I don't like you said before, is what's the difference between Mike Glennon and Josh McCown? If you brought in a guy like that, it's probably
11 years.
What?
11 years is the difference. You know, see, the thing with Glennon is he's 26 and Josh McCown is 37. So
no,
Glennon had
but
a couple
Brian
of
Hoyer, guys like that. He's just from a talent standpoint, he's probably just a guy like that. So you probably bring him in and he competes with Geno Smith, and you're riding the same boat you would if you didn't bring him in. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, but see, when you look at McCown though, when you look at Glennon, you see a 26-year-old who's been in the league for 3 years. Last year didn't play, obviously, because you had Jameis Winston, and then a year or 2 years ago when McCown was brought in, he had 10 touchdowns, 6 picks, I believe it was. So that was kind of a weird situation why they weren't playing him. A lot of people believe that he just wasn't liked by the coaching staff, but you're looking at a guy in his rookie year in 2013 who was drafted in the third round, who had 19 touchdowns, 9 interceptions on a really bad Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. So wouldn't you rather kind of take a shot on Glennon, who's 26, who has room to grow with weapons like Marshall and Decker in this running game with Forte, who's so versatile, and then Chan Gailey, instead of taking a guy like a Hoyer, who's a little bit older now, and then McCown, who's 37, Fitzpatrick, who's going to be 34, if Kaepernick isn't available? Or would you rather just kind of not get rid of the draft pick? Let's say it's a fourth-round draft pick and pick up a McCown or a Hoyer or try to get back Fitz for, you know, $8, $9 million a year.
Well, I'd rather go the Glennon route, but based on what you're giving up and what you're giving him, I'd still like to see him compete with Geno Smith, because we've never seen Geno Smith play with these weapons, and maybe Geno Smith is good enough to play this year anyway.
Yeah.
But I still don't think Geno Smith is Super Bowl caliber, and I don't think Mike Glennon is either. So that's why, on a win-now team, that's why I stress, can we get Fitz back? Can we do a Kaepernick deal?
Isn't it just so miserable that we're sitting here as Jets fans talking about Mike Glennon and Fitzpatrick and McCown? It's just so awful. I just wish we had Joe Flacco or something so bad. I really do.
We're literally rating backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But before we let you go, though, what's your whole take on the Wilkerson thing? Because it's just as big as – well, not just as big as Fitzpatrick, but pretty close or even bigger is the whole Wilkerson thing. So I'm not sure if you've called in. You might have. But if so, if this is your first time, we appreciate you. So what is your whole take on the Wilkerson thing? Are you trading him this year? What are you taking for him? Are you going to try to keep him under the franchise tag this year and trade Sheldon next year? There's a couple options. So what is your whole take with Muhammad Wilkerson?
Well, I know I keep stressing the win now, but since it is win now, I try to keep him under the franchise tag this season. Prior to tagging him, I really did think the Jets were going to try to work out a long-term deal with him. That's really what I thought. That's just what I thought the Jets wanted to do. But I don't know. You have to get something for him, right? But I just think after this season, everybody's nearing the end of their career anyway, guys like Darrell Revis and Nick Mangold and DeBrickshaw Ferguson. So I you have to try to keep him on the team for this season.
Yeah, but see, now you're looking at $15.7 million in the tag. The Jets are right around a little bit over $2 million right now in cap space, and that's not including the Jarvis Jenkins deal. So then you're looking at another $6 million for rookies and another $8 million for Fitzpatrick. So it's going to be tricky. But if they can figure some things out, maybe they cut the DeBrickshaw Ferguson, maybe they cut Giacomini, maybe they rework Brandon Marshall and Nick Mangold. So if there is a way to do it, and in my perfect fantasy world, like I said a couple of weeks ago or even last week, I forget which episode it was, but if the Jets can somehow keep him, have Sheldon keep his nose clean next year and then trade Sheldon next year, because I'm so worried about Sheldon and his contract demands and the type of person he is. So
yep.
I would love to keep Wilkerson as well. But Matt, we do appreciate the call, man, and hopefully you call in again soon, man.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
All right. So Vinny, we were talking about outside linebackers. Vinny, are you still there?
Yeah, I mean just those names in itself makes me want to throw up in my mouth a little bit. When you mention guys like McCown,
it's not Vegas.
That's gonna I'll be throwing my mouth for decades because of that trip. But just the quarterback names, man. I mean, hey, I like Matt how you mentioned Super Bowl caliber. Geno Smith is not Super Bowl caliber. The reality is none of these guys are Super Bowl caliber. There's only a handful of quarterbacks in this league that are Super Bowl caliber. It's what you can surround a quarterback in. It's what the pieces you can give. And when you look at the Jets' offense, look at all the pieces that you plug in a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick or Glennon or any quarterback that's good enough to play in the league. If you have these weapons around you, you should be able to compete for a playoff spot, and then once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. Because again, Marshall and Decker, arguably the best duo, if not top three duo in the NFL. And you think
I think it's the top.
And, I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously, we're gonna think it's the top, but if you go, I mean, hey, I really do think it's the top. Man, if they played they played last year, it's and you plug in again the pieces they brought in, this Jets offense can be elite. And if you're able to bring in Fitzpatrick, you said $9, maybe $10 million. I think you do that because you see what they did last year. You see the chemistry they had. I can't stress enough how big chemistry is in the NFL. When you look at all these teams that are successful, they've been successful for a long time. It's because they're able to build these relationships, build chemistry in the locker room, year in, year out. And if you just keep penciling, plugging in different quarterbacks with different quarterbacks, I mean, there's a reason why this team hasn't won a Super Bowl in over 40 years, man. It's just it's a plague that unfortunately we're going through in the midst of our 20 young guys. It's something that's been we haven't seen anything in 20 years at the quarterback position. And hopefully, this is a year where they can bring back a guy in Fitzpatrick. 33 touchdowns last year to 19 turnovers, I should say. I mean, hey, I would take that over again. Are the Jets going to get that from Fitzpatrick again? I don't know. Are you willing to give a guy $10 million for that? Again, you don't know. You look at Ryan Fitzpatrick, the best year of his career. You're going back. Sometimes he plays like a 20-year-old, diving around. Look at, I think it was the first or second game of the year when he dove into the end zone. The helmet flies off. He breaks his thumb. I mean, last year or 2 years ago, he broke his leg. I mean, it's hard to invest in a guy who's been so inconsistent in his career. But again, when you just look at his work on paper last year with this team, bring in Forte, bring back Powell, bring back hopefully a healthy Jason Morrow. There's a lot of weapons for him to not be – it'll be hard not to be successful. It'll be hard for him not to top what he did last year just because of what's around him. I like how you mentioned for $4 million, I think that's what you said, $4 million to bring in a guy like Josh McCownan. If Fitzpatrick's price doesn't go down from, let's say, 12 to 15 million, whatever it is right now, if it doesn't do that and McCown's out there for $4 million, it's something to delve into. And maybe Paxton Lynch is there at the 20th pick where he can develop him for a year. It's just, obviously, it sucks that we're talking about this. It really does suck. And, you know, if we had Joe Flacco, if it had anyone to just pencil in a quarterback for the next, half decade to decade long stretch, it would be something, the show wouldn't even be necessary. I mean, it really wouldn't, because a quarterback is something we long for. I mean, we're going to be, until we get someone that can lead us to the promised land, we're going to be talking about this forever. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, and that's why that's exactly why with the whole quarterback in the first round thing, I just can't agree with fans who are saying, oh well, I understand, we have some older guys. You have the David Harris's, you have the Nick Mangold, you have the DeBrickashaw Ferguson's, but every team's kind of trying to win now, so you're not going to just give up on your future because you want to quote unquote win now. And the Jets, let's be honest, the Jets aren't winning the Super Bowl next year. It's not going to happen. So I'm not going to give up my future and not draft, Paxton Lynch or one of these guys in the first, or maybe to Connor Cook in the second round, because the Jets are a quote-unquote win-now team, because they might be a win-now team who's going to win, go 10-6, make it to the wild card or the divisional, or maybe get lucky and get to the conference. But I don't think the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl. It's just they're not built for it. They don't have those type of teams right now. They have some holes, and I think after, 2017, you're looking at that more than you are now. But we'll see what happens with that. I'm not going to talk about the Jets and their Super Bowl chances. Even though you just were in Vegas, and it's like 45-1, I think you said that one day.
Put $10 on it. You never know, buddy. Never know.
Yeah. But it just sucks over arguing over mediocrity. It's just Fitzpatrick. How good is Fitzpatrick, really? There's at least, I'm going to say, a 10 touchdown. I'm going to say, no, I'll say 8 touchdowns last year that he had that he just threw it up. Marshall to with the Cleveland game, Marshall, let's think, with the Giants game, Marshall with the Redskins game, where he threw a terrible pass. Marshall made a great play on the ball. So Fitzpatrick, let's just be honest, he's average.
He's average to below average, man. I mean, 33 total touchdowns, 19 total turnovers last year. He is he's average, like you said, man.
That's okay. So how much better? And people hear McCown and they hear Hoyer and they go, oh my God, no way, Fitzpatrick. But how good is Fitzpatrick? Is he really $10 million better than Hoyer? Let's see. Hoyer's stats last year, and I know it's just not based on stats, but he was on the Browns. 2,600 yards, 19 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, which is a better turnover ratio than Fitzpatrick. And I realize in 2014 he had like 12 touchdowns and 13 picks, I think, or something like that. And then you have McCown last year, who had 12 touchdowns, 4 picks, and then he had a bad year in 2014. And then 2013 he had 13 touchdowns, 1 pick with the Bears. So how much better is Fitzpatrick really than all these other journeyman quarterbacks? What would happen last year if you had McCown or Hoyer on a team with Marshall and Decker and all these guys? I'm not saying that these guys are good, and people are probably saying, oh my God, this guy likes McCown and Hoyer, but it's not that I'm saying I like them, but Fitzpatrick, he's limited, dude. He can run, but how much is Devin Smith going to develop this year with Fitzpatrick, who can't throw a ball 35 yards? How much is Devin Smith going to be able to be used as a deep threat and as a speedy guy? Fitzpatrick closes the field of where you can throw the ball by like 10 yards, so everybody has to work in tighter spaces. Now you have the safeties up closer. Now the corners can press closer because you can't throw the deep ball. So now you're constricting the running backs in the passing game. Now you're constricting the tight ends. So he has his limitations. He's average to below average. It just is what it is. For the people who are saying that you need Fitzpatrick back, even if it's $12 million, I'd rather have frickin' McCown or Hoyer for 4 than Fitzpatrick for 10. It just is what it is. And if people think I'm stupid for that, then I, think what you think. But and that's why for the people, I don't want a quarterback in the first round, or let's not take a chance on Glennon, even if he's coming for a fifth-round pick. The Jets, no matter who they sign, Fitzpatrick, Hoyer, or McCown, we're going to be in the same position in 2 years, and you'll be going to a bar talking about who are the Jets going to have a quarterback. Who is this going to be? Well, it doesn't matter if Muhammad Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson are the problem, because the Jets don't have a quarterback. But you know what? In 2016, when the Jets are going to be a solid team and not win the Super Bowl, let's just skip out on a quarterback quarterback who's younger. Let's skip out on a quarterback in the first round because this is the Jets' year. They're a win-now team because the Jets are definitely winning the Super Bowl. Am I right, Vinny? I don't think so. So you're gonna risk not getting a quarterback over the next 10 years because you have Fitzpatrick, who's a below average Band-Aid for 2 years. I don't get it.
And you going back to what you said before about the opponents they play last year. You look at the Jets' schedule this year. It ain't easy, man. They got to play teams like Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Arizona, Seattle. You're not getting any more cupcake games like they had last year during that stretch. I mean, yeah, like
cupcake,
you said, it
yeah.
wasn't like they're it wasn't
and,
like they're
and to be honest, and we're not and I'm not we're not sorry, we're not trying to bash the Jets or anything here, but Vinny, the Giants game, if they kicked a field goal, the Jets most likely lose that game. The Dallas game, we played like absolute crap. And if they had Tony Romo in that game, we were going to lose. The Jets played terribly that game. The Patriots game. What happens if Bill Belichick or whoever it was, Slater, doesn't take kick the
yep.
ball off first? So the Jets were given a couple games that were just cakewalks. Like the Eagles game, they 230 yards and they beat us. And people are, oh, you can't look back. It is what it is. People get injuries. Blah 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 blah. But if you're just looking at it, oh yeah, 10-6, we were so good. But if you're not being honest with yourself, if you look at the Jets schedule last year and the teams they had to play and some of the lucky breaks they got, they were a good team. But dude, the Jets weren't world beaters. They weren't going to win the Super Bowl last year. A lot of people said, oh well, if they got in, they could have won. I don't think so. They were a good team, but let's not overrate what the 2015 Jets were here. I just think they were given a pretty easy cakewalk there.
Yeah, I mean, again, to make it simple, I think the Jets are going to take the best available player at their first round pick and throughout the whole draft. And again, if Paxton Lynch is there, a guy 6'7", a freakish athlete at the quarterback position, again, something we have never seen in a Jets uniform, a guy like Paxton Lynch, or I just don't have a name. You know, any of these quarterbacks, if someone's, I'll tell you what, I mean, if one of these top quarterbacks is there, the Jets,
yes.
it would be dumb. Even if they do sign Fitzpatrick to a 2-year deal, it would be dumb not to draft them, you know, especially if they're high on them. If they're high on, you know, Paxton Lynch and Floyd, and it's one or the other, what wins Super Bowls? You know, what gets you titles? It's elite play at the quarterback position, and when you don't have that, when you have a guy like Fitzpatrick throwing balls over the middle, you know, during the game you have to win, the last game of the year, into triple coverage in the end zone. You see what happens when you have a guy like that. You see what happens when you don't have a quarterback that's not average and can't, you know, has been a journeyman. Like all these quarterbacks' names have been journeymen. Have they ever won a big game? No. The answer is no there. Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't made the playoffs. And again, you know, I'm not trying to bash the guy, but I mean, if
it is what it is.
That's,
it's just
it,
the truth.
You
can't be a homer
guy,
with everything.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we've been homers for 20 years now, and we're
having that key word. I said with everything, we can't be homers.
Yeah, exactly. It is what it is. I mean, it really is. And if a guy like Paxton Lynch, who doesn't come around too often, if they really think this guy is the next coming of someone, you know, someone great and could be a here mm-hmm. for 10 years or whatever, it would be dumb not to take him. I mean, it's simple. McCagney's a smart guy, and if he's really this draft guru, this scout guru, I think he'd be smart to, you know, take the best guy there.
Yeah, and like I said, I've seen a little bit of Paxton Lynch, but I'd be lying to you if I said I sat down and watched 15
yeah.
hours of his film. So I'm not even going to say Paxton Lynch. I don't care if maybe they, which would be a huge hole, and I doubt the Jets would do it, but I'm just giving hypotheticals here, but if they traded up for Wentz, or if Jared Goff fell to, you know, let's say 10 or whatever it was, and they traded up past the Rams, and they got Goff and wanted to sit him for a year, I'm not going to be mad if the Jets, even if they shoot and fail a little bit, I'm not going to be mad if they try to take a quarterback. Mark Sanchez, I was a little bit mad at that because he had like 12 college starts, but still, they're still taking a shot on a quarterback, so it is what it is. You need a quarterback to win in this league. The only quarterbacks I can think of since we've really been football fans who have won a Super Bowl with a really bad quarterback was honestly the 2015 Broncos
yeah.
because they had an elite defense and one of the best edge rushing duos in the entire league, or the best probably. And then you have the 2000 Ravens who had literally literally the best, probably them and like the 85 Bears and some of those Steelers teams and some of those Raiders teams are considered the best defenses of all time. So you need a quarterback. You're fooling yourself if you think you're going to win the Super Bowl with Fitzpatrick or one of these guys or McCown or Hoyer. I want long-term success for the Jets, and that's not giving Fitzpatrick $12 million a year and not looking for a quarterback and just writing it off until 2 years when we're talking about the same exact freaking thing again. So, last thing with the quarterbacks, because we could sit here and we can argue about McCown versus Hoyer and versus Fitzpatrick, who I think they're all kind of almost the same. Obviously I would prefer Fitzpatrick over them. But if you're talking about the price range, if Fitzpatrick is demanding, you know, $7-8 million over them, I don't think I want Fitzpatrick, because I think those guys with the system could do almost the same thing that he could do. And people will say, oh my God, but just look at the stats, look at what they did last year. Look at the talents in their teams, compare it. Don't be a hothead and just think that Fitzpatrick was the best guy in the world this year. But from going from the old quarterbacks to a potential young one, Vinny, Mike Glennon, I talked with Glenn about it last week. I think I talked about it with you 2 weeks ago. Glenn was very, really, really high on him, where he's saying he would trade a second-round pick. I don't think I would trade a second or even a third. But let's say Glennon, the Bucks are, you know, they light up their stance a little bit. They want to trade Glennon for a fourth-round pick. Do you do it? The kid, 26 years old, 6'6". I know he's made some mistakes. He holds the ball too long. His release is too long. He makes some bad reads. He's inaccurate at times. But at the end of the day, the dude is 26 years old. He showed potential in the 2013 Bucks, 19 touchdowns, 9 picks, with a really bad team, a bad offensive line, not many weapons. Do you take a chance? And I'm not saying Mike Glennon is Aaron Rodgers, but like we were talking about before, all these teams in the playoffs, you're looking at the teams who are always in the playoffs. Ravens, great quarterback. Joe Flacco, you can argue whatever, but Joe Flacco, Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers are always there. You always have Tom Brady, who's one of the best quarterbacks ever. On the NFC, you have Aaron Rodgers. You have the Eli Mannings who get there. And Eli Manning, a lot of people hate on him, but he actually is a good quarterback. Same thing with Tony Romo. They're in a lot. Russell Wilson, people say, oh, well, the Seahawks won. They don't have an elite. Russell Wilson's considered a top 10 quarterback. So all these teams, usually, you know, there's 12 teams who get into it. So 10 out of 12 usually have a great quarterbacks and make it past that. So with that, do you take a chance on Glennon for a fourth-round pick?
For a guy who in his career is a 2-to-1 touchdown-interception ratio with 29 touchdowns, 15 picks, the easy and simple answer is yes. A fourth-round pick for this guy, you're saying draft day comes along, Lynch, Wentz, and Goff, these guys are all gone, and the Jets have a chance to take a guy who, again, who's a 6'6", 225-pound, 26-year-old quarterback who's had mild success in this league with a flat-out terrible team. When you have the weapons we have on the Jets, the easy and a guy who did me, for example, who has no GM experience, obviously, an average fan would say yes. I think it'd be dumb to say no to a fourth-round pick. Hey, gems come along in the fourth round all the time, but I think it would be safe to say that you're not going to find a Mike Glennon in the fourth round. And, you know, you can argue you have Bryce Petty, you have Geno Smith, but I like Glennon over these guys.
Sorry to interrupt you, Vinny, but bring in Glennon, bring in another young quarterback, bring in another quarterback in the sixth round this year. Bring them all in, let them compete. I don't care. We need a quarterback. It's stupid. Oh, Bryce Petty, but what about him? In 2 years or in a year, let them all compete. I don't care. Bring freaking 16 quarterbacks onto this team. We need one eventually.
Yeah, you know, again, Mike Glennon had his rookie year, like you said, 19-9. With a team that was just terrible. Tampa Bay is one of those organizations that have been terrible. And especially now, after they drafted Jameis, there's not a shot Glennon's going to get any playing time there. And I think the Jets may pull a trigger. If Fitz isn't going down to that $9-10 million range, and the Jets, you know, they're not getting lower than $13-14 million, then you're going to have to go away from him. There's no way. Obviously, the number one option is Fitzpatrick. It's mutual for both sides. It's the best option for both sides, considering what is on paper in the last year. So, I mean, it's obviously what is going on. But, hey, sometimes things change. And, you know, we thought Fitzpatrick would be signed, you know, a week after the season, 2 weeks after the season, 3 weeks, and time keeps going and going and going. And soon it's going to be draft time. And if, I'll tell you what, come draft day, Fitzpatrick isn't a Jet, then, hey, then there's going to be a new guy behind center for the Jets, I think.
Yeah, no, and honestly, I understand you're saying that Fitzpatrick is option number one, but Glennon might be my option number one just because he's a chance to the future. It just is what it is, and I know people don't like him, and I haven't really watched film on him, but from what I have seen, you know, like I said, he has problems.
Yeah.
He holds the ball too long. His release is bad, but the fact of the matter is he's 26 years old. Bring him in. Let Bryce Petty compete with him. Let Geno Smith compete with him. You let the best guy win. If Geno Smith beats him out, great. I don't think he will, but great. If Glennon starts and then he gets injured and you bring in Bryce Petty and he does amazing, awesome. I'm not being biased here. I'm a Jets fan and I want a quarterback. I don't care what the name on the back of his jersey is. I don't care if it's Smith or Michael Vick comes back from the dead or anybody. Just we need a quarterback. It just is what it is. So Mike Glennon for a fourth round pick. There's obviously risk that with that he could be bad. There's risk that he's good and then he's a free agent after this year and he signs with a different team. But I think it's a risk that the Jets should take. So Glennon for a fourth, do it. That's my take on it now. Maybe I'm a little bit frustrated because of Fitzpatrick. But last week I've been thinking about it a lot and I would personally do it and let him compete because a fourth round pick, you know, it's a risk. It could be an offensive guard who doesn't play for a couple of years and you never hear his name again, or it could be Richard Sherman from the fifth round. But I think it's just a risk I'm willing to take with a quarterback for a fourth round pick. But getting past the quarterback, I'm really sick of talking about quarterbacks and Twitter and all this stuff. I just don't want to talk about quarterbacks anymore. So that's it. I'll probably talk about it, you know, again for half an hour next week, unless the Jets sign a quarterback. But another news, like I said, I believe I said before that Demario Davis went to the Browns. You have Jeremy Curley and Darren Wallace going to the Lions. But what do you think about the Henderson re-signing, Vinny? 29 years old, two years, $5 million. And like I said, Demario Davis signed for 2 years, $8 million with the Browns. And Henderson is a clear upgrade over Demario Davis. Demario Davis, I don't think there's many people who do not like him as much as I do. People say, oh, he's a good Christian man, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. The one time of him doing that little celebration in Buffalo after that tackle for a loss, dude, like we talk about all the time. Seriously, wish I had a sniper rifle on me. I'm gonna have like the DEA knocking at my door in 10 minutes. But 2 years, $5 million. I love this tweet. You know, don't worry, Gotham, your Dark Knight Returns, wherever it was, freaking awesome. Because I'm a huge Batman fan, and I did see Batman vs Superman. I'll give it a 5 out of 10. It was barely decent. But Henderson started, you know, he had like 40, I think he had like 43 tackles this year, really, really showed what he had in the last couple of games. And in the season finale against the Buffalo Bills, where he did play almost the entire game at linebacker, he rotated a little bit with Demario Davis, but the dude had 14 tackles. So I'm expecting Aaron Henderson to come in. He's the clear cut starting linebacker with David Harris. I'm expecting him to have 100 plus tackles in this defense, 29 years old, but he still does have that year off. And I just think he's really, dude, he can cover, he can hit the running back.
Yeah.
And I'm not just being a homer here, but I really do think he's a good linebacker, and he should have been starting linebacker last year from game one, just saved us the disgrace of Demario Davis.
Yeah, and he can add on special teams as well. And when I saw that, when I originally saw it, 2 years, $5 million, my initial thought was this guy could have got, you could have got double that somewhere else.
Got $5 million, yeah.
You know, he could have definitely got more than 2.5 a year, but the Jets have to be ecstatic. If you're a fan and Aaron Henderson, maybe you saw him come on late last year. For the people who really have watched him and know him and the way he played last year, to see him get this contract is a home run for the Jets. It's a home run for Maccagnan, because he's a guy, like you said, you can plug him in right next to Harris and expect nothing less than, 85 tackles next year? I think that would be a low.
I think that's lowballing him, yeah.
Exactly, that's lowballing the guy. So to get that production for that amount of money, where you figured the cap is, $154, $155 million, to have a guy give you $2 million, $2.5 million, and give you 100 tackles, those things don't happen too often. Especially in a position where the Jets were thin, like you said, Demario Davis gone. Thank the Lord on that one.
Thank
but you have two guys now. You have the hitman David Harris, and You got Aaron Henderson. These are two guys who are going to combine for 220 tackles and maybe even more this year, which is something the Jets have, you know, had a lack. Some sore tackling is what the Jets have lacked throughout the years, especially with Demario Davis in the linebacker position. And, again, he can cover. He can add something on special teams. It's a win-win for
he
both
can cover
sides.
Cover, too, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, you see him, yeah, happy to be back on the team again. You know, maybe it was just a PR move, but to see him happy that he's back on the Jets is again a testament to how close knit these guys were last year. And again, when they're all like that in the locker room, that's why a team can succeed. And hey, whatever they do in the draft, just you know, the middle linebacker is set. That's a position where they don't have to worry about, you know, in the draft. So that's it's a win-win for the Jets and Henderson.
Oh, yeah, like obviously, I don't want Reggie Ragland in the first round. I'm just not the biggest fan of him. I know he's a hard hitter, but I just don't – he's literally a David Harris mold, which, yeah, if you have a guy to look under David Harris as a mold, then, yeah, maybe Reggie Ragland. But I kind of think that's the guy, Tywan Jones, like I talked about last week with Glenn. I think he's the mold of David Harris. Maybe he, in a couple of years when David Harris's contract is up, which I believe is in 2 years, maybe he takes the linebacker spot. So the guy opposite of let's say Tywan Jones in 2018, 2019, I want to be a guy who is fast and all of that. So I don't want Reggie Ragland, but yeah, Aaron Henderson. You look at his last year of a full starting linebacker in that actual starting position: 112 tackles, 4 sacks, 2 interceptions. So this is a guy who is very multidimensional. So I really do like the signing. I'm very, very comfortable going into the season with David Harrison and Aaron Henderson as the starters. Then you have guys, maybe you grab a guy in the fourth or fifth round, maybe Tywan Jones in the third, maybe you bring back Jamari Lattimore for a veteran minimum contract. So we don't know, but number one and two, I'm happy with it. So that's great because we're still worrying about Wilkerson and the tackles and the punter and the punt returner and all these things. So just get another hole plugged up with, like you said, a guy who's going to give you most likely 100-plus tackles for $2.5 million a year, fantastic. 29 years old. You know, he's not a old guy. He's probably in the late stages of his prime, but still in his prime. I really do like the move. But another guy we signed this week, Vinny, I don't know if anybody really knows too much about him. But I did look a little bit into him. The Jets signed, Daryl Morris, who was drafted, I think it was 3 years ago, he was undrafted to the 49ers. He's 25 years old. Last year he played with the Texans. And in 2014, he actually had a decent year, 31 tackles, 7 pass deflections, 1 interception. And I know that 1 interception you tagged me and said even I can catch that or whatever. But yeah. But no, it's at minimum, you're looking at a guy who can contribute on special teams. I believe he ran like a 4.33, which is like blazing speed. So he is really fast. And from all the scouting reports I've looked up on him, I didn't do it myself. Everybody says that he plays at that speed. So at worst, you're getting a special teams guy, a guy who could be your gunner and make some tackles on special teams. Like I said, 31 tackles, 7 pass deflections is a decent year. So I don't think he's going to be, you know, people are saying, oh, well, is he going to start alongside Revis? And we've already talked about it last week where Todd Bowles said that Buster Skrine didn't get that starting or that starting role as of right now, which I understand what he's saying, where in the base formation where you don't have a slot corner, Buster Skrine will be the number two with Revis because you don't want Buster Skrine off the field because you pay all that money for him. But the Jets are in their nickel and dime packages so much with 3-4 corners on the field that Marcus Williams is really going to be your number two, but technically Buster Skrine is your two because he's a second guy. People know what I mean. But Daryl Morris, he's not going to be the first, second, third, even fourth corner, because I think the fourth corner is going to go to the piece of glass, D. Milner. But this is more of an indication that, you know, Darren Walls was gone, and then, of course, Darren Walls signed with the Lions today. So I think this guy is like the sixth corner on the team who might play in some spot duty and special teams. What do you think about Daryl Morris, Vinny?
Again, you know, it's a depth signing. You look at all the – basically, you know, almost everyone at this cornerback position, they've been hurt throughout, you know, the past few years. Look at McDougal, look at Milner, look at Revis. He gets hurt. A lot of these guys have been hurt. You know, even Buster Skrine last year, he broke his hand, I think, during the stretch of the season.
Didn't he, like, pop his shoulder out, too, when he destroyed Julian Edelman, which is fantastic?
Yeah. Again, I mean, this is a guy, like you said, he had a good year, and he's a small, you know, slot type of cornerback. Again, not going to say this guy's going to come in and give us 30 tackles and 2 picks and 10 pass deflections. That's just not realistic. But this is a guy who can, like you said, maybe come in and do some things on special teams that can merit him some more playing time. Hey, maybe he can beat out a guy in camp. I mean, you know, you got to have, you know, this. We may not be talking about this guy ever again, but we may actually. You never know, because this is a guy who McCagan knew obviously from his time in at Houston. So maybe he can give us the Jets a little spark. Who knows? Again,
hey,
a guy who runs.
What happened the last time the Jets signed an undrafted corner from the Texans? Just tell them, what is his name?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Exactly.
No
so
idea.
If you're taking, you can take yeah. risk on these guys. People say, oh,
no,
why not sign this guy? He's a 25-year-old who has blazing speed. You're gonna take a chance on him. I
right.
like to see the due diligence that Mac is doing with the Freddie Bishops from the CFL and the Daryl Morrises and all these guys. So it's nice to see him signing guys like this. Hopefully he sticks to the roster and hopefully, you know, he blows up somebody on punt return on the punt return team next year. He causes a fumble and then, you know, we're all happy and giddy that we signed him. We'll see what happens. We're not going to predict what a sixth round or undrafted guy is going to do. But Vinny, before we do get off, we have like two more things to talk about that I just wanted to address with you. And one thing I actually forgot to talk about with you was the whole touchbacks rule. What do you think about the touchbacks now being brought out to the 25-yard line? Do you think it affects the game a lot? In general, you know, what do you think about that whole new rule?
I think they should stop making so many changes. It feels like every year there's a change in this or that, and it's annoying. I mean, 5 yards, hey, that may, you know, if there's a minute left in the game, down by 2 points, let's say, or a tie game, and you kick a 50-yard field goal where it would have been a 55, you know, the small things, they can add up sometimes, especially, you know, in crunch time, but I mean, outsiders look at it, you know, shortens the field by 5 yards on touchbacks. I just don't like so many changes, man. It feels like every year there's two changes, a change here. It's annoying to me as a fan. I just don't like it. I mean, I like seeing there's more incentive for a touchback if you're a receiving team. I like seeing, you know, the Devin Hesters, the Justin Millers of our time go out there. You know, you go out there and return a kick. You know, it adds a little excitement. Football is a contact sport, and you know, you like seeing guys run fast. And you know, hey, maybe this Dow Morris can be on a special team and light up some guys running really fast. I mean, it's just it's something that just, I mean, me as a fan, outsider looking in, it's annoying to see all these changes. But I don't think it'll change the game. Not at all, really.
Yeah. Let's just be I think in a couple of years, let's just be 100% honest, special kickoff is going to be eliminated from the NFL. I just think it is going to be. They made special teams a little bit more exciting last year with the fact that, you know, the 30-yard field goal for an extra point, which people missed more extra points than they did in last year than they did in like the past 6 years. So that was a little bit more exciting. Not as exciting when you have Randy Bullock as your kicker because it's very nerve-wracking, but I just think it's kind of an indication that special teams are just, they're just going to keep adding it, and then or at least kickoffs, as far as kickoff go, I think they're going to be eliminated. You're just going to, you know, team scores a touchdown, kicks a field goal, you get the ball at the 25-yard line. I think it's what's going to happen. Maybe not in 5, 10 years, but I think by the time, you know, me and you are dead, we'll see special teams completely eliminated, and that sucks, too, because we grew up, you know, watching the Leon Washingtons and the Justin Millers, who was pretty solid. I liked him.
I loved him.
I kickoffs is one of my favorite parts, and I understand why they're trying to eliminate it. You got guys running full speed at each other. It's not about the guy who hits the runner. It's more about the guys who are laying the blocks just straight on full speed. So I understand it a little bit, but it's football. You know, when you sign up for football, you know you're going to get hit in the head. You know it's going to happen. If you don't want to play it, then go play freaking, I don't know, soccer, wherever you're going to do. Sorry. I didn't even think about it that you played soccer in high school. there's one side of this 25-yard line thing, which if you're 8 yards deep into the end zone, I think people have more incentive to knee it because it gets you an extra 5 yards. But at the same time, I kind of think that this is going to – you're going to look at teams trying to kick it high and to like the 1 or 2 yard line, because now you have, you know, 24 yards of tackling before the 25-yard line and make it a good play for your team. So I think it might actually bring up some – some question where people are going to be kicking it high to like the 1 or 2 yard line and trying to tackle them before the 25. So we'll see what happens with that. But that's just kind of my first thought about it. But Vinny, last thing before we get off, DeBrickershaw, Ferguson, Breno Giacomini, me and Glenn talked about it. I'm not really going to talk about it tonight, but because we covered it all last week, basically, we kind of want him to cut him, save $4 million. He's a bum. And if they start Brent Qualley at right tackle for $4 million less or $3 million less, I really don't think he could do much worse than Giacomini did last year. So I think Giacomini's gone, whether it's in the draft or they sign somebody in free agency or they're comfortable with Brent Qualley going into training camp as a right tackle. I think that Giacomini is gone. But DeBrickershaw Ferguson, what are you doing? Because there's not many guys out there. We saw the Beachams go out and sign with the Jaguars. We've seen the Donald Penns go out and sign with the Raiders and all these guys off the market. Now you're looking at guys like, you know, Jake Long from Atlanta and Will Beattie from the Giants. You're not looking at, you know, class or grade A guys starting at left tackle in free agency.
Yeah.
So DeBrickershaw Ferguson, $14 million. I believe if you clean cut him, you get $9 million back. Right. So are you restructuring? And the big question about it is if DeBrickershaw Ferguson and his agents are looking into free agency, they see these Jake Longs and these Will Beatties and they're saying, you guys aren't going to sign them. You don't have the balls to sign them, you know, put on your poker face, whatever. But I don't think you'll sign one of these guys. I'm not going to take a pay cut. You know, what are you doing with DeBrickershaw Ferguson if the dude's not willing to take a pay cut?
Well, if he's not willing to take a pay cut, I think if he looks at, let's just say, half of any game, take his pick of any game last year, then he would see whether Jets are asking to take a pay cut. This guy, you know, he's been here for so long, it's just hard to cut ties with somebody like that. But if he's not willing to take a cut, you got to realize $14 million, man. If you just that's way, way too much to paying a guy who is on the tail end of his career, who is a borderline average left tackle.
I think he's a bottom 10 left tackle in this league. I really do. He was really bad last year.
Then, you know, if they do cut wages, then I'm looking, you got to look to the draft. I mean, first, I would like to see them restructure, obviously. I think both sides know that has to have the case, considering they don't have a quarterback right now. They just don't. They have no money to get a quarterback. They have no money to get anyone, really, at this point. That's why they're signing guys like Darryl Morris off the streets, basically, because they have no money. And when you have so much money tied into a guy, a staple in DeBrickershaw Ferguson, the guy has been here forever, I would assume it's hard to negotiate with that guy who maybe has some leverage, but if I'm the Jets and he's not willing to go, I'm cutting ties with him. I'm saving $9 million. I'm getting a quarterback, and then I'm trying to replace him in the draft or, you know, maybe get a Jake Long because, you know, you can get the same production at one-third of the price of what you got to DeBrickershaw Ferguson last year. He was that bad, man. Him and Breno were just that bad last year where there's players on this roster on the practice squad who probably could have played better. That's really how bad they played at times last year. And I mean, Fitzpatrick only broke his thumb. He's lucky he didn't have a few concussions because he was getting hit left and right some games. I'll tell you what, he's just lucky he survived that year without missing more than just that Raiders game, basically.
Oh, yeah, well, thank God that Chan Gailey has a quick-release offense because if he didn't, Fitzpatrick would be screwed.
Yeah.
If people really don't believe how bad, you know, Brick was and you want to go and buy your subscription for All 22 and watch some film on DeBrickershaw Ferguson and realize how bad he actually was last year, he was really freaking bad. So I agree with you. I don't think they're never going to go into the draft and say, okay, well, in the first round we need a left tackle, we need Stanley, or we need one of these tackles in the first round, because like I talked about with Glenn last week, then you're putting yourself into a corner. If all those guys are gone or if somebody's there you don't like, you're not going to just take them and put yourself in that position to take a guy who you don't like because you need a left tackle. So in my honest opinion, a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, he's a ring of honor guy and all this, but if DeBrickershaw Ferguson doesn't take a pay cut, freaking cut him and sign one of these other bums, you know, Will Beattie or Jake Long, and you know they're not good, but neither is DeBrickershaw Ferguson. He's really not. He might be a little bit better than those guys, but I'd rather save, you know, $4, $5, $6 million dollars, because like I said, if you clean cut him, I believe you get $9 million. Let's figure you sign Will Beattie for $4 to $5 million. I'd rather have an injured Will Beattie who is not very good over a you know, overpaying DeBrickashaw Ferguson $5 to $6 million more dollars, who is also not good, you know, just to save the money. It sucks because he's been here for so long, and he's only missed one snap in his entire career, and the only reason he missed that snap was because it was a Eric Mangini trick play, I believe was a reason. So it would suck to see him go, but at the same time, dude, we need the money, and he's not good anymore. It just is what it is. This is a condensed episode, so we will be getting off now, Vinny. So hopefully next week we will have, you know, a punt returner, a punter will be signed, and we'll figure out maybe some outside linebacker. We'll get a quarterback, a tight end, and either Wilkerson's traded or extended. So we'll see what happens with that. But before we do go, everybody check out milesocial.com. Helps manage your social media while you run your business. So everybody check that out. Vinny, any last words for the fans here?
For the fans, hey, man. It's almost draft time. By the next episode, it'll be April, you know, draft month, or almost draft month. It's close, man. It's the dog days. We're getting there slowly but surely. We're getting there, and you know, we're gonna be here talking about it. And you know, hey, hopefully we have a quarterback next week. Hopefully, you know, hopefully we can pencil in a few more starters. But if not, we'll be here talking about it. So hey, thanks for tuning in. And hey, let's get him. One more week, man. One more week closer. We're 24 Sundays away. Hey, next week will be 23. Hey, who would have known? We're almost there, baby.
Yeah. Well, and we have the draft coming up, which will be obviously exciting. I think we have three or four more episodes before the draft, so we'll start breaking that down a lot more. The schedule comes out was like April 23rd, so we'll talk about that when it comes out. So we have exciting stuff coming up. Like when he said, these are a little bit of the dog days after the main wave of free agency, where not a lot of things are going on. So thank you, everybody, and all the, you know, thousands of listeners that are listening to us during these times where there's not much happening. We really do appreciate it. We'll be back next week. Obviously Tuesday, 8 o'clock, same time as always. And we'll probably be talking about the quarterback situation again, but hopefully not. So thank you everybody for listening, and we will see you next week.